Chapter 26. Talon. Talon staggers out of the barracks and into the street, awkwardly trying to buckle a shield onto his crippled arm. Alarm bells ring throughout the city, drawing sharp contrasts to the fighting on the walls, while soldiers rush about in every direction, trying frantically to figure out what's going on. "Damned siege," he thinks in annoyance, finally managing to secure the shield to his forearm. "Makes it bloody impossible to sleep." He can see the smoke rising from a nearby neighborhood, the sounds of terrified screams coming from that direction. It's like the entire world has gone mad.
"Talon!"
a voice barks from somewhere nearby. He turns to see Elias rushing down the stairs of the outer wall, his expression like a violent storm.
"Get yourself a weapon. I need you right now."
"Right. A weapon," he replies,
ducking into the barracks and re-emerging with a spear. The nightingales begin flocking around their protector, eager to follow his lead in the midst of the chaos. He stops in front of the barracks, eyes like two flints as he peers around, taking stock of his troops.
"I've given command of the wall to Captain Chris Gallo," he begins, speaking quickly. "We need to stop whatever the hells is happening in this city. Everybody follow me and be on your guard. Use force only if absolutely necessary."
The men bark, "Yes, sir," before departing, jogging through the streets toward the source of the disturbance. They pass large barricades that have been constructed in case the outer defenses are compromised, fortifications of rubble and wooden beams manned by archers and mages. Except for the soldiers, the neighborhoods are completely deserted, the majority of the city's population having fled to the center of the city, away from the fighting. As they reach the inner districts, they begin to see signs of rioting, looted storefronts and shattered windows marring the buildings and refuse littering the streets. The nightingales, about 30 armed men, turn a corner into a wide boulevard. There, they finally run into some people, a crowd of dozens retreating in their direction. Cloaked men in masks walk among those fleeing, carrying daggers slick with blood. They attack randomly, stabbing viciously and leaving the unarmed civilians bleeding on the cobblestones before moving on to their next victims. It's a massacre. Wolves running among sheep.
11 hells, Talon thinks, recognizing those masks from the reports he'd seen. Those are harbingers. I thought they'd all been killed off.
Elias draws his sword, prompting the others to do the same. People scream hysterically as they try to escape the blades on both sides. Hefting his spear, Talon follows the others into the milling crowd, pushing their way to the handful of knife-wielding assassins. They immediately begin to back away, noticing the soldiers for the first time.
"Take them out!" Elias roars as he rushes forward. "Don't let any escape!"
The nightingales run the harbingers down, gutting them where they stand. Several manage to put up a fight, wounding one of the soldiers, but the cultists fall quickly, their daggers no match for the swords and spears of the well-trained fighters. When the last man collapses to the street, Elias turns to regard a hurt woman lying in a puddle of blood.
"You'll be all right," he says, kneeling before her and applying pressure on the wound. "It's just a scratch. Don't worry."
Talon approaches them from behind and can see from first glance that Elias is telling her a comforting lie. The wound is too deep and too wide to be repaired. There's no way she'll survive. Coughing, she raises a bloody hand and points further down the street, toward a pillar of smoke.
"There are more down there,"
she croaks, eyes leaking tears.
"Please, you have to stop them."
"We will,"
Elias promises softly, his voice a gravelly rumble. She holds his gaze for a moment, then closes her eyes, breathing shallowly through the pain. Elias lays her down gently, retrieving his sword before he stands and turns to face the direction the woman had pointed.
"Let's go," he growls, setting off without looking back.
The rest follow without question. The nightingales make their way down the street and turn a corner, coming face to face with a building that's been set ablaze. The charred sign outside marks it as the Central Bank of Tarsus, a gaudy building transformed into a raging inferno. They stop short a few dozen paces away, gawking at the sheer size of the fire. The heat coming off the flames is incredible, and Talon can already feel sweat beating on his forehead.
"There's an aqueduct one street over," one of the nightingales suggests.
Elias nods.
"We need to keep this fire from spreading to the rest of the city."
He sheathes his sword and motions for the nightingales to do the same.
"Everyone, look for buckets and make for the aqueduct. We'll form a line and try to contain the blaze. And keep your eyes open for harbingers."
Wordlessly, they break away and form a water line, each man carrying buckets as swiftly as he can manage. Talon feels useless, his crippled shield arm preventing him from properly holding a bucket, so he decides to stand guard, shouldering his spear with his back to the blaze. As the others work to contain the flames, he begins to see some shapes gathering in a nearby alley. At first he thinks they're citizens watching the fire from a distance. Then he notices their movements, the way they lurk in the shadows like trained killers. Before he can notify the others, one of the figures raises a crossbow, shooting a bolt directly into the back of one of the Nightingale soldiers. The man goes down with a splash, his bucket clattering to the ground as everyone else looks up in alarm.
"In the alley!" Talon shouts, pointing with his spear.
The dark figures disappear, vanishing deeper into the alleyway.
"Talon!" Elias barks. "Take some men and go after them. The rest of us will stay here and take care of the fire."
"Great," Talon thinks, nodding stupidly. "Now I get to run off and get myself killed by a bunch of crazed cultists. Not the way I wanted to go, but I suppose it's better than being eaten alive by some demon." A group of 10 Nightingales volunteer to follow him, and without another word, they take off in pursuit of the cultists. The space between the two buildings is grimy, caked with sludge and obscured by shadows. Fortunately, a group of enemies isn't waiting to ambush them. Instead, they discover footprints in the muck.
"This way," Talon
says, leading the Nightingales deeper into the warrens. They round the back of a tenement and enter another alley, rushing onto a smoke-filled street on the other side. Exiting just in time to see the mass of dark cloaks running into an abandoned shop, the warriors hurry to catch up to them, rushing across the street and into the open door. Once there, they find the back wall has been torn down, a gaping hole leading into a sheltered but overgrown graveyard beyond.
"Creepy blighters," Talon thinks, proceeding with more caution as they make their way through the shop and toward the opening. "Of course they'd be hiding in a bloody graveyard."
Outside, they find the cultists gathering behind a cluster of tombstones, crossbows and swords held at the ready.
"Well, gents," Talon says, peeking out from behind the ruined wall, "it appears that we're at an impasse. These freaks seem to be itching for a fight."
There isn't an obvious path for escape. That can only mean a fight to the death, a brutal melee with only one victor. A couple Nightingales take out crossbows and load them, then look to Talon to give the order. Lifting his shield, he looks back at them grimly.
"Aim for their crossbowmen. The rest of you, get behind me. Let's kill us some psychopaths on three. 1, 2, 3!
They rush out of the shop and into the graveyard, shouting a furious battle yell. Behind them, the crossbowmen release their bolts, and two of the harbingers go down. A few projectiles thud into Talon's shield, but thankfully, none seem to do any damage. Talon and the other soldiers collide hard with the cultists, weapons flailing wildly and eliciting grunts of pain. Talon rams his spear into the chest of one man and raises his shield to block an oncoming sword. The force of the blow rattles his bones and sends a shock up his arm, but he ignores the discomfort. Yanking the spear out of the man's flesh, he stabs again, trying to disable the enemy who'd attacked him. Steel clashes as both sides beat each other bloody, bodies and hacked-off limbs dropping to the ground in sprays of red. Mage fire springs out of nowhere and explodes on a Nightingale standing next to Talon, engulfing his clothes and charring his skin black. He collapses, writhing and screaming in agony.
"They've got a damn mage with them," Talon thinks, huddling behind his shield.
His eyes dart around the graveyard until he finally spots the spellcaster. Crouching behind a headstone, perhaps a dozen paces away, is a woman in cultist robes clutching a glowing crystal in one of her hands. Unlike the others, she doesn't wear a mask, her face contorted in rage and her frizzy brown hair askew.
"There!" he shouts, motioning at the woman with his spear. "Kill the mage!"
One of the Nightingales aims his crossbow at her, but before he can get off a shot, he takes a fireball to the face. He goes down faster than he can scream.
11 bloody hells!" Talon curses, dodging a cultist's sword. "Much more of this and we're done for."
Everyone falls back, taking a defensive position as the cultists advance.
"Wedge formation," Talon says to the others. "Give me an opening, and I'll try to stop that mage. Sound good?"
The remaining Nightingales grunt their agreement, faces taut and expressionless. Talon takes a few steps back, letting the others form up in front of him and waiting for the fighting to begin anew. Within seconds, the harbingers attack, throwing themselves wildly at their line. The Nightingales hold their ground, the lead soldier punching a hole through the enemy rank and giving Talon a chance to rush through.
Light, please forgive my many transgressions. I promise to become a good lad once all of this is over.
Gritting his teeth, Talon races through the gap, jumping over the smoldering body of a nightingale, and stumbling into the grass beyond. He almost trips, but maintains his momentum, running full speed away from the fight. Ahead he can make out the crazed cultist woman, her face a rictus of rage and bloodlust.
"I'm the prophetess, you worm! You think you can defy the will of the Chosen?"
He tucks his spear under his arm and charges like a knight in a joust, his shield held firmly just below his chin. She hurls a ball of mage fire, the flames bursting on his protected chest and instantly igniting the wood. Yelping, he wriggles out of the shield's fastenings and tosses it to the side, continuing his charge despite his fear. She snarls like a rabid animal and begins casting another spell, her crystal growing bright at her words. Talon yells wordlessly, pumping his legs hard and aiming his bloody spear tip as fire begins to form in her open palm. He lunges, stabbing forward with all his strength as he clears the final few steps. The spear strikes true, piercing deep into her gut and ripping out the other side. She gasps, eyes widening as the mage fire winks out like a snuffed candle. He continues to push until she falls backward, the iron tip driving into the soft soil and pinning her to the ground. Talon drops to his knees as she dies, letting go of the haft and sucking in a ragged breath. Behind him, the last of the nightingales cheer, emboldened by his stupid yet successful display. The cultists falter upon seeing their leader die, and the rest are quickly cut down, blood spattering the headstones like winter rain.
"Nice work there, Ranger," one of the nightingales says as he retrieves Talon's spear from the corpse. It comes out effortlessly, the wooden length slick and dark with gore. Resisting the urge to vomit, Talon regards his fellow soldiers. Less than half remain of the group that had come with him.
"Yeah," Talon replies, feeling a bit dizzy. "Thanks. You too. Light, I could use a drink."
When they return to Elias and the others, the rest seem to have gotten the fire under control. Dozens of civilians have come out of hiding to help them, and now there's a small army of people hauling water to the smoking bank.
"You've returned," Elias states upon seeing them. "I trust the harbingers have been dealt with?"
Talon nods wearily.
"Good. Now we must return to the wall."
"That's it," Talon replies incredulously. "We risked our lives to hunt down some insane cultists, several of us dying in the process, and we don't even get a thank you?"
The nightingales around Talon shift uncomfortably, and Elias gives him a hard look.
"Thank you for your sacrifice, soldier," he says, voice a low growl. "I'm glad you were successful. Speak to me like that again, and I'll have the Master Warden string you from the wall by your ankles. Got it?"
Talon holds his gaze for a long moment, then breaks away.
"Yes, sir."
Elias nods, turning to address everyone else.
"All right, men. It looks like these good people have things under control. It's time for us to head back to the front. Gather your things and let's go."
They jump to do as he says, picking up their discarded weapons and armor and forming up behind him on the street.
"Elias is one tough bastard," Talon thinks as they begin making their way to the western wall. "No wonder Owen rarely smiles. With a master like that, he probably had all the joy beaten out of him."
When they finally return, it's already late in the afternoon. Shouts and the sounds of combat greet them, the men on the battlements above shooting arrows and pushing away ladders as a wave of demons attacks.
"Lord Protector," one of the officers shouts upon seeing them. "Captain Gallo is waiting for you in the tower. There's something you need to see."
Elias dismisses their group, telling everyone to return to their posts. When Talon attempts to go back to the barracks, however, he stops him with a gruff command.
"Ranger Meacham, with me. We could use your spear on the wall."
"Hells," Talon thinks, following him up the stairs. "I was hoping for a little rest. Not as likely to catch an arrow in my bunk."
They climb to the top of the tower, passing corpses and wounded soldiers on the way. When they arrive, Talon can immediately see what's causing all the commotion. Rolling across the battlefield, pulled by a score of large, many-horned beasts,
is an immense metal tube contained within a latticework of timbers. It's covered in strange glyphs and carvings, its open mouth in the shape of a roaring dragon. Standing high above the ground, it dwarfs even the Baelors lumbering to get out of its way.
"Burn me, but that's a big one," Talon mutters, jaw going slack.
"Yes," Elias replies. "A big one indeed."
He rushes to the side of the tower and shouts for the mages to assemble at once. The great machine is still a good distance away, but it's clearly angling for the gatehouse. At the speed the beasts are pulling it, it will be in position shortly. Mages begin gathering on the wall, their crystals at the ready, awaiting their High Magus's command. Roth stands nearby, his hand tightly clutching his talisman, face grim. The demon assault has seemingly receded, waiting for the device to do its work before making another attack on the city. As the massive wheels grind to a halt, the mages begin casting their spell in unison, completely enveloping the gatehouse in a shimmering bubble. Judging by the strain on many of their faces, holding the magic in place requires a tremendous amount of effort. Below, black-robed gorgons surround the machine, bringing with them a large group of what looks like humans bound in chains.
"Probably prisoners taken from Green Harbor," Talon thinks uneasily.
To his horror, the demons begin doing something abominable to the humans, sucking green energy from their bodies and channeling it into the machine. The humans drop one by one until all of them lay motionless on the ground. Aghast, archers lob arrows at the monsters, but they are out of bow range, the missiles thudding uselessly into the grassy plain. The metal tube glows with an infernal light, pulsing like it has a heartbeat of its own.
"Hold the shield!" Elias cries, looking to the mages. "They're about to shoot!"
Sure enough, the machine shudders, a deep thrum resounding through the air. At a command from the Gorgons, the beasts lash to it, "Move right," directing the tube away from the gatehouse to another section of the wall, a stretch of stone that's completely unprotected.
"Move the spell!" Elias roars, waving his arms. "Move the spell! Protect the wall!"
The mages react, but too slowly. The machine erupts, spewing a gout of green energy at the wall with enough force to make it roll backward. The sound is deafening, the concussion so powerful that it causes many atop the tower to stagger. There is a crash, followed by a high-pitched ringing noise that fills Talon's ears. Then smoke, a thick black miasma filling the western front. Talon blinks against the green afterimage, his eardrums still ringing as he waits for the smoke to clear. When it does, terror grips his heart with an icy fist. Just beside the gatehouse, the once-proud wall has been reduced to rubble, a gap so wide that an entire army can fit through.
11 bloody hells, Talon thinks, panic welling up inside him. Now we're in trouble.